Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the epistle lesson, Paul's letter to the Philippians, as you have heard read. Our theme this morning, humbly put Jesus first. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I once heard a story of a businessman, a very prominent businessman, who put a sign on his desk. And every person who would come into his office, they would ask him, "What does that sign mean?" It was his way of confessing that Jesus is first in his life. And the sign was a very simple sign, the number 3. You see, he would say, every single time he would say, "I am number 3. God is number 1 in my life. My family, my friends, my neighbors, other people, even my employees are number 2 in my life. I am number 3. This joyous yet somber service reminds us that we as Christians, and especially now Bo and Buddy, must put Jesus first in their life. For all of us together, including now Bo and Buddy, we are number 3. You see, Jesus is number 1. We heard this from the epistle lesson this morning. He was God from eternity. We've heard the same in John's first chapter of his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He humbled himself and made himself to be a human. And who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And whoever believes in this servant, whoever believes in the Son of God, the Word, who was and is and will always be, whoever believes in him has eternal life. And whoever believes in him may have eternal life, as John writes in his 3rd chapter. God has now highly exalted him. God the Father has exalted his Son, Jesus Christ. Not because Jesus was already with him in the beginning. No, it was because Jesus and his work. Because Jesus emptied himself, that he willingly came to this world to be born of a woman, to endure the same things that we endure in this life, heat and cold and hunger and thirst and the vile and viciousness of other people, especially the unbeliever. Jesus even endured for you and me the scourging, the cruel scourging by the Roman soldiers, and then the ultimate humiliation of being stripped naked and nailed to a cross. He was the only one. Jesus was the only man willing to do this for you and for me. There's no other. There's no other God who has done this. There's no other person who has done this. There is only one. That's why Jesus, dear Bo and dear Buddy, that's why he's first in your life, because he is your Lord and he is your Savior. Not only that, he is the Lord of all. We hear from the epistle lesson this morning, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And very soon, Bo, and very soon, Buddy, you will come here before the altar, and as you see, you will bow your knee, and you will confess with your tongue that Jesus is your Lord. This is a solemn vow. Yes, it's taken before all of your family and friends, but most humbly, it's taken before the Lord's altar himself. For the Lord hears your confession. And Scripture tells us that when we confess Jesus as our Lord, there is great rejoicing in heaven. For Jesus himself confesses your name before his Father's throne in heaven. Very soon, as you're kneeling here, be thinking of that. Bo Knoll is being proclaimed in heaven. Kenton Daniel being proclaimed in heaven. That's what happens. Jesus said it. Therefore, it happens. There's a father who had a young daughter. And they were driving along a dirty, dusty road one day. Yes, it was summer, and therefore they had their windows down. And suddenly a bee flies into the truck, and the little girl goes into hysterics. Why? Because she's allergic to bee stings. And even a single bee sting can cause her to go into convulsions, into a coma, and ultimately death. But her loving father stops his truck, and he snatches that bee out of midair, and he closes his farm, bruised and tattered and calloused hands around this bee, and he squeezes, and he squeezes, and he squeezes. And then he smiles down at his young daughter, and he says, "Honey, don't worry. This bee has now stung me. Its stinger is in my hands. Never, ever again can this bee hurt you." That's exactly what Jesus has done for you and for me. He didn't see his glory in heaven as something to be grasped. Rather, Jesus, when those nails were driven through his wrist, his hands curled shut, and he clenched shut his hands, and he took upon himself your sin and my sin and the sin of the world, and he nailed all sin to the cross. He bore your anguish. He bore your sin. He bore your rebellion and my anguish and my sin and my rebellion, and he nailed him to a cross. And now he looks at us and says, "Don't worry, my dear brother. Don't worry, my dear sister. The devil and the power of death and the power of sin can never, ever hurt you again." Jesus took the sting. He took the sting of death. He took the sting of sin. And he took the sting of Satan himself. And he bore them for you. That's why he's first, and he must always be first in your life. Dear Bo, dear buddy, that's why Jesus is always first in your life. Remember the cross. But then there's others. You see those other people, they're number two. We learn as new persons in Christ Jesus from our baptism, that we aren't to think of ourselves as more highly exalted than others. Yes, Jesus is first, but then our family, our friends, our neighbors are second. And Jesus is a perfect example in this. For when Jesus came to this world, he did not revile other people. He went out into the countryside. He went into the city, and he proclaimed the good news. He was not vile and vicious to no one. He treated everyone as a friend, even those who hated him. Jesus never said anything mean or vicious, or he never spoke a lie against them. He still saw them as his friends, as his people, fellow Jews. Therefore, since Jesus has done this, we learn to be obedient to God. We see that in verse 8 as you look at your bulletin insert. How do we know that Jesus was obedient to God? The Garden of Gethsemane, the cross itself. Jesus could have called down 12 legions of angels, 72,000 angels and more, to deliver him. But that is not God's will. It was God's will that Jesus endure the scourging and the beating and the spitting and being crowned with a crown of thorns and being nailed naked to a cross, and then enduring the vileness and viciousness of the Jews as he hung there, even the scourge and the vicious words of a criminal, and the other fellow criminal also, who finally repented. For you see there in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did Jesus pray? They are words that we should remember. Father, not my will be done, but thine will be done. So often in life, we look up at God and say, God, what about me? What about me, God? Instead of us humbling ourselves and saying, God, I'm actually number two. Not my will, but your will be done. You see, we learn humility from our Lord. There was never a more humble man than this man from Nazareth. And he proved it to us. He proved it over and over. And Bo and Buddy, he proved it over and over again for each of you. We learn to put others first. Now, I know in America, that's hard for us to do. All we have to do is watch the news, and we see that we're not very good at doing that. All we have to do is look at the church, and we see that we're not very good at doing that. We like putting ourselves first rather than our neighbors first, rather than God first. We don't like being number three. We'd rather be number two, and we really, really want to be number one. But Paul writes to the Hebrews and says, do nothing from selfishness or from conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Did you hear that? In humility, count others better than yourselves. A lesson for all of us, even a lesson for the clergy. There were once two sisters who were very close in their younger days. But as they grew older, they grew apart from each other, and one moved away far from the other. But as they grow old and in their elderly years, they finally decided that they must move in together to help care for each other. One day, the younger sister says to the older sister, I don't know what happened to you, but you are a great deal easier to live with now. What happened? And the older sister looked at her younger sister and she smiled and she said, I'm number three. I'm number three. She had confessed her sins. She had gone to church. She became a Christian. She was receiving her Lord's body and blood. She finally realized that in her old age, Jesus is first. Others are number two. She's number three. And Bo and Buddy, this is a lesson for you and for me and for everyone listening. For you have learned in your baptism. You have learned in your baptism that there at that font, you were put to death. Yes, you were put to death. Old Adam was crucified with Jesus. And old Adam was put to death and you rose again, given newness of life by the power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As Paul writes to the Romans, he says that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And Bo and Buddy, that's what happened for you on that morning that you were baptized right here. God gave you a new life. He humbly gave you a new life. Therefore, it is my fervent prayer for both of you that you will daily remember your baptism. Remember what happened here. Each time you come into church, look at the font and remember what happened. There I was put to death, but there I was raised again. There I was given newness of life. There, Jesus. There, Jesus is my number one. Others are number two. I'm number three. Yes, today you learn, and you have learned from the small catechism, the importance of God's Word in your life. I pray that this book, this book won't become a bookend for you, that it won't be placed in your bedroom and dust will collect on it and mom will come in and blow the dust off maybe every 6 months or so. No, there should be never any dust on this book, for it should always be open, and you should be reading and you should be learning, for God is number one in your life. And when God is number one in your life, you will know this book. For when you go to college, there will be those who will tell you, this book is no good. Throw it away. It's no good. But when you know this book, you can answer. You can answer in humility. And you can answer in love. And you can speak the truth. For this word is truth. And lastly, boy and buddy, next week you will come here to this altar. And you will humbly come before your Lord. And He will be present to serve you body and blood, as He tells us Himself, for the forgiveness of your sins, for the strengthening of that faith that you received here at the font, unto life and salvation. Do you see? Do you see how much God truly loves you? That He who is number one, He who is number one came to you, and He made you His child. He claimed you. He calls you by name, and very soon, as you've just heard, He Himself will speak your name in heaven. Therefore, dear ones, this is the importance of this Sunday and the importance of next Sunday. We see what Jesus has done for us, that Jesus is number one. Our friends, our family, and our fellow Christians and all people are always number two. And we, because of what Jesus has done for us, we have this wonderful ability to be number three. Jesus is first, others are second, I am third. Humbly, humbly, dear ones, put Jesus first. And in His name, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.